Aha series is based on the prodigal son, and we're going to dig deeper into that story next week. In fact, one of the ways that I want to encourage you to prepare for this series to reread that, if you've never read it before, to read it for the first time. But it's in Luke chapter 15. We're not going there this morning. In fact, I'll highlight another prodigal out of the scriptures in a moment. It's someone who didn't go through each of the steps. In your notes, if you take a look at this for a moment with me and where we're going to be at, just under your calendar in terms of this series, we're going to take a look and unpack what it means to have an aha moment. In fact, God wants us to have many of these aha moments, and it just simply means that that God wants to break into our reality, and it could be simply through our reading of Scripture, could be our experience with our faith family, or it could be circumstances that we go through, whether they're good or bad. There are ways in which our Lord teaches us about himself, even through the different things that we go through in life. And so as we take a look at this series, and as we take a look at the story of the prodigal son, we're going to see how he decided to leave the father, and what begins to happen to him as he distances himself from his father, and what can happen with us when we decide to put some distance between us and our relationship with God. And then what does it really mean to become awakened to God? And in that awakening, to become really honest about who we are, where we're at, where we need to be, who God is and what he wants for us and how much he loves us. And then taking that honesty and doing something with it, obeying God, living after the example of Jesus Christ, taking action, taking steps of faith through action. And so, you know, we all have aha moments. You know, sometimes it's, you get an idea. I had an aha moment yesterday. We had a great flight back from Kansas City. Jeff and I were there with the rest of our denomination, and most of the flight was good. The last 5 to 10 minutes weren't so good, and many of you know, because you were here and you went through the storm that we had yesterday, just how windy it was here on the ground. It was pretty windy in the air as well, and I had an aha moment, and I said, well, Lord, okay, if this is it, I'm ready. I know I have a relationship with you, but you know, be merciful on those on the flight that don't have a relationship with you and bring us home safely, you know. And then when I do get on the ground, that will be my last plane trip. You know, as if my driving is any more safe, right, than a plane trip. But, you know, we all have aha moments. And the Lord kind of breaks into our reality. He shares with us something about himself, about our condition, about our need for him. Or maybe it can even be something as small as this. This past week, I woke up one morning, and I was really sensing a desire to get closer to some of my friends. And as I, you know, and I literally, you know, I woke up, and I was just laying there in bed and just thinking about this and was just telling the Lord. And so it was kind of, it was both a physical as well as kind of an emotional awakening. But then the honesty came, and I heard the Lord say, well, how committed have you been to praying for them lately? I went, oh. Because I know that there have been times when I have been committed to praying for friends, how much closer I feel to those friendships. But then then I can't just go from awakening to honesty. For there to be a true aha moment, we need to put our faith into action. We need to do something about it. And that's really the process of repentance and a process of belief. The passage that I want to unpack today is one verse. It's Mark chapter 1, verse 15. And let's read this together. It'll be up on the screen. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So Kyle Edelman, in his book and in a series that he preached and in what we're doing in class, it follows the stories of these people who are, in a sense, prodigals. Maybe they had a relationship with God, maybe they didn't, but they were distant from God. And at some point in their life, God gets a hold of them. He kind of breaks into their reality. The kingdom of God comes near, and they have an awakening, and they become honest with where they're at. So, aha is simply sudden awakening, brutal honesty, and immediate action. We'll unpack these in the coming weeks. But Jesus, in this passage, says the time has come. You've probably heard me teach on this before, but time can be seen in two ways. There are two words for time in Greek. One is chronos, where we get chronology or chronological events. It's a measure of time. I'm going to preach for another 15 minutes. That's a chronology of time, a measurement of time. But then there's this kairos time. It's a moment. It's an event. Or for our purposes, it's an awakening. It's God breaking into our reality. And Jesus is saying here that now is the time that the kingdom is near. You have the kingdom with you right now. But a lot of times we're not awakened to that fact because, you know, we're busy going through life. We're busy doing this, doing that. We make decisions with our own eyes, and we're not really seeing through the eyes of Scripture, seeing through the eyes of our Lord. But then he awakens something deep within us, and it could be a big moment for us, or it could be just something small. But so we have this awakening. There's this honesty that we go through, and Jesus says here, so the kingdom of God is near, repent. And so we're going to talk about this process of repentance, and he also says, believe the good news. This is the action steps that we take in our aha moment. And what I want to encourage you to do this morning is, there are a variety of ways in which the Lord tries to get our attention, but sometimes those ways are the difficult times that we go through. As a coach, I've often heard Denny say that we learn more from our losses than from our wins. We sometimes learn more through our disappointments than through those things that we're celebrating. We sometimes grow more through those tough times than through the really good times. And so Kyle says in his book, he says, the number one contributor to spiritual growth is not sermons, books, or small groups, though we would highly, highly encourage you to continue to listen and continue to be involved in a small group, continue to be reading. But he says the number one contributor to spiritual growth is difficult circumstances. And so we're going to see in the life of the prodigal son over the next month just how God used difficult circumstances in his life to wake him up. We don't need difficult circumstances to wake us up. God can and does often use many different ways to wake us up, to awaken us, but he does often use troubling times. I want you to think about this prodigal son. Not the one out of Luke 15, but he's the rich young ruler. You see, he had been hearing this message about the kingdom of God, and, you know, Jesus, when he first started preaching after he was baptized with the Holy Spirit and with water, and he's preaching, he's saying that the kingdom of God is near. Well, there's this one young man that responds to Jesus' message, and he's seen what Jesus is doing, and he comes to the Lord, and he asks him something very interesting. And if you remember the background of this prodigal son, you know that this is a man who lived an impeccable life. I mean, he lived his life, you know, at least in outward appearances, following the rules of God. But what's interesting is, though he had religion and though he had riches and he had prestige, he felt like he was missing something. And so this man who looks like has it all comes to Jesus. And do you remember his question? What must I do to be saved? He realized he was missing something. He had an awakening of sorts, and he was in Jesus. He begins to ask him some questions, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart. You know, he goes through these commandments, and he says, Lord, I've been keeping these ever since I was a youth. And Jesus says, well, this one thing you need to do, go sell all of your possessions, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. But if you remember, this prodigal son, instead of choosing to act on what Jesus told him to do, he continued to distance himself from his heavenly father. And at that point in his life, did not choose action. He was awakened. He was honest. He knew about his riches. He knew it was difficult to give his riches away. But then he couldn't take that next step. For him, it truly wasn't an aha moment because he couldn't follow the awakening and the honesty with action. So this morning is kind of set up for where we're going in the next couple weeks. And what I want to do is teach you something that I learned about a year ago. In your notes is something pretty colorful. And it's a circle. Just take a look at this for a moment. This is a practical way for how you can remain open to God so that he doesn't have to use really loud alarm clocks to wake you up. For me, in the mornings, I can have this little harp sound go off, and that's enough to wake me up. For another one of my girls now, and I won't say who it is, she can have this alarm just blaring in her bedroom, and I can hear it two levels down, and I'm coming upstairs and saying, honey, it's time to wake up. Oh, you know, snooze, right? And so what I want to do is to have us develop an openness to where God doesn't have to use loud alarm clocks in our lives to wake us up to the reality that the kingdom is near. Jesus is near. And so this little graphic shows us, and it's called a Kairos circle. It's out of a book by the author's name is Mike Breen. And so when I began to read about what Kyle was saying in Aha, I began to think about this Kairos circle and what Mike Breen was teaching his disciples to teach other disciples. And if we can use this, this can allow us to remain open to God, to seeing God break into our own reality. And so what this can do, it's a tool for us to learn from situations and issues that come up in life about ourselves and about our relationship with God. So a Kairos event or an awakening event can either be negative or it can be positive. I mean, you can have an experience in life that is really positive, you're excited about, and you can learn from those experiences just as much as you can learn from negative experiences. But, you know, a Kairos event for you might be, you know, the day that you got married or, you know, remembering your children when they were born and just how you were feeling during those times. Or, you know, it could also be a tragic event as well. I mean, many of us know vividly where we were on September 11th. There are moments in life that are like that. They're tragic, and God kind of breaks into our reality if we can see with his eyes. And these moments, these awakenings, can be recognized by the impact that they leave on our lives. Because when we go through that moment, it changes us in some way. It could be, you know, the divorce of your parents and you begin to realize maybe what it takes to keep a marriage together, and so you're reading and you're being mentored by people and you want to know what it means to have a healthy relationship with your spouse. But a Kairos moment, an awakening, can be recognized by the impact that it leaves on your life and the changes that occur in your life. And these events signal opportunities for us to grow. To grow individually, for us to grow in our relationship with God. And so here Jesus is saying, he says, the time has come. There's a Kairos moment for us, and we can be awakened to this reality of the kingdom of God being near us right now. Sometimes it doesn't seem that way. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way. But he is saying, here is a great opportunity for you to see me in the midst of what is going on in daily life. The kingdom of God is near. It's God breaking into our lives. It's the inbreaking of God's presence taking place in our lives. It's a process. It's God saying to us in this event, I want you to grow closer to me. I want you to see me in this event. I want you to draw close. I don't want you to distance yourself from me, even if you're going through difficult circumstances. And so if you see in this diagram, you see a straight line. And so a lot of times we think about life in a linear way. You know, we think, okay, birth to death. And I don't know if you've ever diagrammed your life before, you know, from birth to where you're at right now, and you put lines in it. Okay, when I was 13, this happened. When I was 22, this happened. And so we see our lives kind of in a linear way. We can also see that spiritually as well, you know, from salvation to glory. We can see it in a linear way. But God wants our relationship with him to be more dynamic. And so what happens then, we have this kind of event or this awakening that takes place, just a new insight that happens, and God kind of breaks into our lives. And there are a couple ways in which we can respond. We can keep going on that straight line and kind of ignore the moment, ignore what's going on deep down inside of us. And we can continue to walk without truly just stopping what we're doing and asking God what he's trying to teach us. And so these moments are God-given opportunities to enter into this process of learning kingdom living, of learning what it means to follow Jesus Christ, of learning what it means to live in a relationship with him where we are continually turning to him, that's repentance, and continuing to trust in him. And so this circle can represent our journey in this process. And I'll admit the process can be difficult because when you're learning about yourself, a lot of times it can bring up some pain because if you're learning about ways in which maybe you've hurt others or mistakes that you've made, sins that you've committed, you know, the process of repentance and of dying to ourselves can be a painful process. So two words in this diagram and two words that come out of Mark chapter 1, verse 15 are really important here, and that's repentance and believe. Repentance, in its purest way, means to change your mind. It simply means a change of heart, a change of mind, but it also shows up in the way we live our lives. There's a behavior change. There's an external change as a result of what's going on internally. And so walking as a disciple of Jesus Christ means we're continually growing and changing inwardly to take on the nature of Jesus, to take on the character of our teacher. And so there's repentance, and then there's belief, and there's trust, and we grow to trust in him through this process as well. Well, there are three steps in terms of repentance and three steps in terms of our trust and our belief in him. And the three steps in repentance are observe, reflect, and discuss. And in that box, you can write in there, what is God saying to me? And then the second part of this process is the believing or the trusting. And we can ask God in that second box, what am I going to do about it? So what is God saying to me, and then what am I going to do about it? And in that belief stage, the P is plan. I've seen this diagram where people have written in support, where you're gaining support from other brothers and sisters in Christ. In the diagram up here and in Mike Breen's book, I mean, if you want to, you can cross out the S and put account, you know, for accountability partnerships. And then the other A is act. So observe, reflect, and discuss on the repentance side. And then on the believing side is plan, account, and act. And so in terms of the process for repentance, there's this process of observation that we go through. You know, maybe we're observing that we're down and depressed. Maybe we observe that we're angry. Maybe we observe that we're just kind of coasting through life. So we begin to make some observations about our lives, and then we take it to the next step where we reflect on our observations. So you're listing what's going on in your life in terms of the observation, but when you start the reflection, you begin to ask the reasons why. Why do I feel depressed? Why am I down? Why do I feel like I'm just kind of coasting through life? Why did I get angry in this one moment? And as we're making these observations and making these reflections, we need to be brutally honest with where we're at. It doesn't do us any good. Change doesn't take place if we're not willing to be honest with who we are and what we're doing and our motivations and what's going on in our lives and what's going on in our feelings. We need to be honest in our observations as well as our reflections. And so asking questions is really a great way for you to take this step of reflection. But the third part in this is discuss. And that's finding someone else that you can discuss your observations and your reflections with. We were meant to be in a faith family together. When you're adopted into God's family, when you're adopted into relationship with Him, when He adopts you as His as Father, we are then adopted into a family where we are connected with each other. And so we discuss our observations and our reflections, and it's really good for us to have people around us that when we are discussing these things, they can be brutally honest with us as well. It's great to have accountability partners who aren't just yes people, but they're going to be there for us and to challenge us on different things that they see in our lives. If you remember, James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed." Dr. Larry Crabb wrote once, he said, "A spiritual community consists of people who have the integrity to come clean." And that's a difficult process, admitting, you know, where we're hurting, admitting where we're struggling, admitting, you know, what we're struggling with in terms of sin. But we're meant to be in a family together. We're meant to have these relationships together. We're meant to not just grow together in our relationship with God, but to also grow in our relationships with one another. And if we're going to grow deeper in our relationships with one another, it's really key for us to have maybe two or three other people that we can be honest with about what's going on in our lives. Just because we go through these moments doesn't mean we actually learn from these moments. You know, sometimes we make mistakes, but we never learn from those mistakes, or we continue to sin in a certain way, and we don't learn from those ways in which we are falling. And just because we experience something doesn't mean we learn from that something. And so this process of repentance, of observing, reflecting, and discussing allows us to learn from what we are going through. And then there's the faith or the belief stage of this process. And if you remember, the writer of Hebrews says, faith is the substance of things believed. It's not simply, you know, I believe in Jesus, but it's putting substance to it. It's doing something with it. If you remember what James talks about in terms of our own faith, is that faith is dead if it's not accompanied with works. There has to be some kind of action steps taking place. So we learn to trust and walk with Christ during this stage where we plan, account, and act. The first part is planning. And so, you know, if you've observed in your life that you've been spending too much, or you don't have enough in the bank account, and so you begin to observe these things, but then you reflect on your observations. You know, okay, so why am I overspending? Is there some kind of emotional attachment that I've got to shopping? Or it could be anything else that's going on in our lives where we make an observation, we make a reflection, and we learn from those. And so what we can do is, as we begin to learn from those, we begin to make plans for the action steps that we want to take place in our life. I really struggle with eating. I struggle with the sin of gluttony, and I'm going to call it that. And so there are times where I'm better at my plan than I am, and what I need is really the next step, and that's the account. And I've actually just, you know, in the past month, asked my girls, asked Michelle, asked friends to hold me accountable. There have been times where I've been in a setting where we're eating together, and Blaine will say, "Johnny, you don't want to eat that, do you?" I was like, "Ah, you're right, I don't." And so it's a good reminder. But so we make plans, but then that we take that next step in terms of account or support, and we say, "Listen, this is the plan that I want to take in my life with Jesus, and I want you to hold me accountable to that. When you see me slipping off this plan, I want you to say something, or when you see that, you know, my eyes get buggy, you know, for this deep dish pizza, and I want five pieces instead of just one, You know, I want you to say something to me. And so you bring other people into your plan. I've heard about, you know, people who have wanted to take steps to take care of themselves more, and they find that if they've got a workout partner or a running partner, you know, that they are able to stick with their plan better once they have somebody who's there to hold them accountable. And then we just do it, right? Nike theology, we just do it. We put our plans in place. But we realize that we put these plans in place and we act hand in hand with Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't leave us on our own, but has empowered us with his Spirit so that we can have the strength to do what he has called us to do. So in this next week, what I want you to do is just to be thinking through these action steps. You know, whatever is going on in your world, in your life right now, take these steps, find someone else to go through this with, make some observations, make some reflections on your observations, and discuss it with somebody. And then make a plan and tell that somebody what your plan is, and then together hold each other accountable to those action steps that you're going to take. And then one of those action steps that you can take in terms of homework is just to read the story of the prodigal son. Begin to ask yourself where you are at in the story. What are some of the ways in which you distance yourself from the Father? And though the Father loves us and wants to be in relationship with us, why is it we are so motivated to live our lives in a distant land? And maybe you're there this morning. Maybe you feel some distance from him. But maybe this morning is one of those times where God is breaking into your reality and saying, listen, the kingdom of God is near. And so what I want you to do, just for a couple moments, Jason, if you can put some music on just for about a minute or two, I want you to be thinking about those things that maybe God is telling you. You know, ask yourself that question, what is God saying to me? And then ask yourself the second question, what am I going to do about it? So next week, what's going to happen, taking a short recess from doing AHA in our class. We did, Cindy led us through the first one. This series isn't just Kyle teaching via video. It follows the story of people who have distanced themselves from God. And over the next month, we'll be seeing what God does to break through into their reality where they have an awakening, where they're honest to God and honest with themselves about who they are and what they're doing and what they're going through. And then the action steps that they take in order to stay close, to grow closer to God, and to be closer with the people around them that God has given them. So just take a moment right now, just in terms of observation and reflection in your own life, and then we'll have the praise team come on up and lead us in the last song.